Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Today we're bringing you another show from Radio Skid Row from Sydney's 88.9 FM Workers Radio. And the show was recorded on the 9th of February 2012. And it features myself, Hereward Fenton, Carla Cryer and Jack Frost engaging in discussion, debate and some argument. It's quite an entertaining couple of hours. I think I've got about a little over an hour to share with you today. Hope you enjoy it. And if you're ever looking to listen to the show live, you can find it on 88.9 FM in Sydney. And you can also find it on the internet if you Google Radio Skid Row. So hope you enjoy the show, and we'll be back with more Truth News Radio Australia shows and interviews very soon.
All right, there you go. That's Babe. I'm going to leave you Joan Beans there. You listen to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. And before that, we had Dick Fear, men causing all the bombs. Do you think women who are in charge? Well, women are starting to get in charge now since it's been dominated by males for so long. We have Julia Gillard. who's our Prime Minister, and also who else is there? Actually, who else is a lady? Can you ask?
There was Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago.
Yeah,
long time ago. And
there is a certain breed of woman now who is trying to become male,
because
they see their road to success to become as male as possible, to gird on the iron belt, and forge ahead with cruelty.
Yeah, definitely. Now, look, Hereward, I know you're there. Look. What were going to deconstruct my male thing. And look, Harold's just looking.
You've given me the trick headphones again.
But
you
did this to me last week. Absolutely.
They fall apart when you touch them, and Jack says, "You broke the headphones."
Yeah, it's a trick thing, actually.
It's a studio thing. We know that.
It's very delicate here in Radio Skid Row. We need donations. You can go to radioskidrow.org and give us donations, please.
Man, you know, and I'm just sitting in here. I can tell you it's needed, folks. This place really needs mega government grants.
Yeah, mega lift up. Now, what are you going to deconstruct about the male thing, what I was saying before?
What I want to do is I want to explain a bit about the totalitarian slave system.
The slave plantation, you mean?
Yeah, but I want to explain it on a conceptual level rather than just pointing fingers and going, Rockefeller,
Rothschild.
Because basically you've got to understand the system and then you can understand how it works. And then you understand a lot of the things that the confusion that people have because they can't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So the totalitarian slave systems always work on the basis of a hierarchy of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just have a ruling class and a slave class. What you have is multiple levels of slave classes.
Right.
And the slaves enslave those below them.
Yep,
so this is actually how it's maintained.
Yep.
The true rulers are almost never seen.
They're
almost completely hidden from the system.
I heard they're very inbred and they're actually insane.
Yeah.
But who says that? How do we know?
Exactly.
We don't know. Yeah, we only know a few public personalities. We do know the name Rockefeller. We do know the name Rothschild, but we know there's more than that.
Mm.
We know that, like, even them, they don't appear in public much.
Well, they don't. They're not the revolving doors.
They might appear at a dinner, you know, and make a little speech every now and then, but they don't have much public face.
Mm.
And they often are philanthropists. Mm. You know, they often have charitable foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
And
they appear to be just benign people who are dispensing good.
Mm.
But, I mean, just getting back to this actual system of slavery that has been going for thousands of years in different forms, you know, traditionally in ancient society it was a caste system.
Mm.
So there was a caste hierarchy and each caste had very, very fixed roles within that.
Mm.
In modern society, it's different. And this is where I think I may end up, provoking some disagreement here today. Because in my view, today, in our modern society today, we actually have a slave system which is divided along sexual lines because women have been handed the reins of power in our society.
Mm.
And this is actually.
Is there any evidence for this statement, Hereford? Where exactly are the reins of power? What exactly are the hands holding them?
Well, we were trying to find someone. We found Julie Gillard, didn't we?
I think I pushed a button there, Carla.
Well, no, because it was a total non-evidence-based statement. I
was halfway through my spiel. No, you continue.
No, I would just like the actual facts, like which women have been handed which reins of what power.
Well, I could go through a long catalogue of women's names if you want.
One will do.
Oh, okay. Julia Gillard. How about that?
We've just mentioned Julia Gillard. We've got to get someone else.
Okay. Julia Gillard.
Right, we've got someone over here. Jim.
Julia Gillard, was an easy slip-in, you know? They found a woman. Oh, we won't yell about a woman being put in, and they dumped Rudd. Somebody was working hard.
Yeah, but we're trying to find out someone else.
But listen, has she got actually any power? I don't see her holding any reins. I see her as subjugated.
Exactly.
Down the line.
Exactly.
So what power has she been?
But that is my point. See, that is actually my point.
Well, the Fabian Society's got her.
In the slave system, the ones who wield power are themselves slaves. Mm. That is how it works.
Exactly.
And the best way to maintain power is to give a weaker class power over a stronger class. So, you know, men are stronger than women. They're stronger physically. Mm. Men are leaders. Women are by nature followers.
Well, actually, I would just like to point out that there is actually, women are actually, there are a number of bodies. Physically, men are stronger. Etherically or endurance-wise, they're actually weaker. Women are able to keep going and going.
Yeah, and we're not very good for pain.
No, astrally, emotionally, men are also weaker. But then on the other hand, spiritually, they can sometimes have a very clear direction.
Focus.
So it's, you know, it's a complex. Human beings are complex. They have a number of sheaths. And going back behind what you were saying, this totalitarian system, behind it all is a conceptual framework towards life. The totalitarian system is based on fear and control. Yeah? Mm. So these people, Rockefeller, Rothschild, whatever, actually believe that unless you've got the whole world controlled, or if you read Brzezinski and so on, unless the whole world is controlled, you cannot have any kind of rest or peace. Because if you withdraw control at any point, you are going to have other people kill you. Like, if you don't control everything, you are going to be attacked.
Of course.
And they actually really believe this. The only way to have peace is for you to control the situation.
That's right. That's what I do. To control everything else, you sit on this hierarchy of a pyramid thing. You have other people working for you. You put the fear of it. You put a bar association in front of you as well to keep the wicked. You put a religion in there to keep you believing, and you put in different types of paradigms of fighting against each other so you can run off with all the cash. Or not the cash. It has got nothing to do with cash. It's about the power.
So, you're
right. So all different types of steps. Look, so I guess that's the symbolism.
Ultimately, you're up against a human way of thinking. You're up against a thought, a conceptual process.
All right. So
look, I was at one point working in an institution. We were given things to, you know, we had our jobs. Mm. They were hierarchically decided. Mm. Everyone complained about the job. It was impossible to enact the job.
Right.
However, did anyone feed the information up? No. I was the only one that stood up in the staff meeting and said, look, this job's impossible. It cannot be done. We don't have the resources. But the people who advanced were people who pretended they were doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the rap or the story of what stuff was happening.
No,
so what I'm saying is this system lives in all of us, yeah? Mm-hmm. And to change the system, it's not a matter of getting rid of this and this evil person at the top.
Mm.
It is starting to act in a different way ourselves.
A grassroots sort of area.
Stopping the obedience, yeah?
Mm.
Can I just return for a moment, though, to the point about how the hierarchy of power works, because unless you understand that, you'll be continually undermined by it, and you won't even be aware of the fact that it's happening.
Well,
and this is why I want to return to this thing about how men have been subjugated by women in our society.
And this has got to do with work too, people. You can see this at work because it's been built in us. If you're going to work,
I can guarantee you, I've seen it so much. No, you go ahead, Jack.
No. What you were just saying. Yeah. Go along what you were going to say, but it's in work. When you go to work today, see the hierarchy of the pyramid system that's in your work. Every part of it, you've got a boss. That boss has got to see that boss. And then you've got people who are outspoken and they segregate these people away from the other people because they can cause them problems at work, or they just fire them.
You know, but the interesting...
Cut their lifeline
out. But if I can just return to my point, which I mean, I admit it's controversial, but I want to make the point, is that men are subjugated by women in our society.
Yeah.
And unless you understand that, if you turn away from that and don't admit it, you will be a victim of the system because by not seeing it, the most powerful slavery is the form of slavery you're not aware of.
But listen.
And this is the form of slavery that most people are aware of and will deny, and it will provoke... You know, quite heated arguments.
We've just got rid of the one example of Judy Gillard. Now we need another example of men being subjugated. Women
just got their.
Don't really want to run through a catalogue of individuals because I don't think that's important.
No, but then I think a statement like that out as a vast who's being subjugated by women.
Women? We're here on a radio show to throw statements out. That's what we're doing.
I know.
So
but then you've
that's
got
what, that's all right, give us.
Were you subjugated by a woman?
What do you mean by subjugated?
Well, ask her of it.
But what do you mean, like under control or under feeling? What do you mean by subjugated?
Yes. What is
what does the word mean to you? Does it have no meaning for you?
Subjugated means what? Does that mean that I'm in sort of in control
oppressed, or
I can't do anything? I feel in jail, slavery. Like it's subjugated means to me what?
Well, it's got a pretty well recognized.
Well, my mum sort of carried me for 9 months. I feel subjugated to her for definitely.
No, there's no subjugation. That's how you play the game. You know, it's how you get in and play the game. Like,
How does that mean being subjugated?
So you play
with a woman.
Well, one moment. Let me finish the statement. In other words, if you let somebody subjugate you, and I'm still not sure. Of the word subjugate as Harrowood's using it.
Mm.
It's just a word. It's just a synonym. You can use a different word if you want. However, I think everyone knows what the word means.
All right, we're going to go on to a song. If anyone's give us a call, 9550-9552, and feel like you're subjugated to women or feel suppressed by women.
But remember, this is only part of the slave system. I'm not blaming women. Mm. I'm saying women are being used in this role.
Mm.
And it's all part of a system of enslavement. Mm. So I'm not making a judgment and I'm not blaming. Mm. I'm merely looking at what's going on.
Having us all be subjugated is just fine with me, Harrowood. But saying that men have been subjugated by women, we've all been subjugated by certain thought forms.
Actually,
but there are certain things that are not acknowledged or admitted. And when they're brought up, everyone says, shh, you're not allowed to say that. That's one of the forms of oppression that's the most dangerous because it silences discussion.
Well,
you know, the feminist, I guess, ideology silences any discussion on this topic.
No,
you're not allowed to say that because if you bring it up, you're one of those chauvinist men.
In order to have discussion.
Who the women say, you know, we've been trying to free ourselves from. This is part of the...
No, you can't say that.
Well, no. You, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But
what?
Well, he's talking about, you know, what he just said. He's just said, like, you can't say certain things because it's politically incorrect.
Sure.
Indeed.
Which is politically incorrect anyway.
In any group, with any very strong on the edge group, you've got that kind of thing happening, whether it's the socialists, whether it's whatever. You can't say certain things to them. You can't say certain things to the CEC. You know, any group that has a deep attachment to certain ideas will silence you.
Yeah,
but this is not happening here. You've not been silenced.
Oh, I think I'm being silenced now, Carla.
Oh, come on. We're just asking
to open the discussion. I think
to give some actual evidence.
I'm not being
Nobody's
silenced.
Saying you can't say that.
You've said it now. So it's for you, the callers, to give an
for
idea.
For you to clarify. He's got to clarify what he means.
Well, but the tone that you're adopting with me, Carla, is one of, like, initially you
deep
said...
Deep compassion and
initially you said, shall we discuss this?
Do we want to discuss this?
Yes.
Because I thought our priority was politics and economics.
But see, all I'm trying to do, let me just make it clear, all I'm trying to do is
to
expose... the system of injustice and slavery that's going on in our society. I don't want to demonize anyone, and I don't want to blame anyone, and I don't want to judge anyone.
No, neither do I.
And I think in a free discussion, you have to be able to bring up what you see as an observation without being told that that's politically incorrect.
You were not told it was politically incorrect.
Good, thank you. I appreciate that now. that you've said that.
If you think he's politically incorrect, give us a call, 9550-9552. Got to, that's what you do. Calls the ruckus. All right, listen, we've got to go to the BBC. We're going to the BBC News. We've had some technical difficulties. Something has happened here in the studio. I can't get my music on. I don't know why. We'll be back. We'll go to the BBC News.
bbcworldservice.com/podcasts and search for Witness.
BBC. Well, obviously, you need to know English, but you also need to know Chinese.
Is a rapidly changing world reducing the importance of the English language in Asia?
The decline of the English language probably followed the decline of the US dollar.
Suddenly, we see businesses wanting to hire people who are conversant in Chinese, in addition to English.
English in the East, a new two-part documentary. Tuesday at 4 and 9 GMT from the BBC.
The events that shape the world as we know it, by the people who experience them firsthand. Living history, every weekday, in Witness.
This is the BBC in Naples.
Tel Aviv.
Accra.
Wherever you are, you're with the BBC.
BBC World Service, this is Lise Doucette with NewsHour. Coming up in the next 60 minutes, as the crisis over Syria deepens, is arming the opposition now a real option?
I think that's something you don't take off the table so that Assad doesn't know for sure what we're going to do.
England's football manager Fabio Capello has just stepped down. We'll also bring you the latest from the pitch on the African Cup of Nations. In the Maldives, did President Nasheed resign or was he pushed?
It was very much a coup d'etat. President Nasheed himself was frog-marched from the military establishment to the president's office and forced to resign.
And perfect or barking mad, the boom in clothes for pets. First, today's news in detail.
BBC News with Ian Purden. Turkey says it wants to build an international coalition to make Syria stop its onslaught on opposition strongholds like the city of Homs. The Foreign Minister, Ahmet Davutoğlu, said that if the UN Security Council couldn't protect civilians, then like-minded countries should find ways to do so in order to send a message of solidarity to the Syrian people. Jonathan Marcus reports.
Turkey regards itself as a major regional player and as something of a champion for Syria's oppressed Sunni majority. But above all, it wants stability on its border. Speaking to Turkish analysts at a recent security conference in Munich, it was clear that they genuinely fear the collapse of Syria into a sectarian civil war, something they believe could spread to other countries like Lebanon or Iraq. What happens in Syria is thus of vital strategic importance to Ankara.
In the city of Homs, residents say the Syrian army has been mounting its heaviest bombardment so far. The BBC's Paul Wood has recently left Homs.
If I was to use one word to sum up the mood as we left, it would be despair. People absolutely terrified. You know, we heard the army's coming, the army's using chemical weapons, all this kind of thing, absolutely beside themselves, and that is the effect that constant shelling produces. We counted hundreds of what appeared to be tank shells and heavy artillery shells. Hundreds of mortars, they're using airburst shells as well. No doubt there's a lot of sniper fire, and it appears to be deliberately directed at civilians. It's not clear exactly what the Syrian forces are targeting, whether they are trying to deliberately hit military targets of the Free Syrian Army, but whatever their intention, civilians are undoubtedly bearing the brunt.
Security forces in the Maldives have used batons and fired tear gas to break up a rally in the capital, Male, in support of the former president, Mohamed Nasheed. Andrew North is in Male.
I'm in the main square in Male, where large numbers of army and police in riot gear are still cordoning it off after the clashes with supporters of the former president, Mohamed Nasheed. We saw several of his supporters being taken away in plastic handcuffs, among them one of his top aides. The former president himself is reported to have been injured in the clashes, and he is now thought to be in his home. People are still lingering around the square, denouncing what they say was a coup, there's the smell of tear gas in the air and still the sense that there could be more trouble.
Police in the Somali capital Mogadishu say a suicide car bombing has killed at least 9 people in the government quarter of the city near the Hotel Muna. The Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab told the BBC it carried out the attack. World news from the BBC. The Mexican Navy has found 2 mass graves containing at least 10 bodies in the eastern state of Veracruz. The Marines said that they'd been led to the graves in Acayucan by a man they'd arrested at a roadblock on Tuesday. The man, known as the Chicken, said he was a member of the country's most powerful drug gang, the Setas. After more than 2 decades of drilling, Russian scientists say they've reached the surface of a gigantic freshwater lake in Antarctica. Lake Vostok is beneath nearly 4 kilometres of ice. It's been sealed off from the Earth's atmosphere for almost 20 million years. Researchers believe the lake may contain life forms new to science. Jonathan Amos reports.
This has been one of the great Antarctic ventures of recent decades. Radar surveys have indicated the presence of a lake 6 times the size of Luxembourg at the base of the ice sheet. Its water is kept liquid by the warmth of the rock bed and by the immense pressure of the overlying ice. Scientists expect their studies of Lake Vostok...
Yeah, that's enough of the BBC News. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney. It's 7:05, and we've got Carla Cry here with us and Herwood Fenton from the Truth News Radio and Jim, our local correspondents around the community here in Marrickville. And my name is Jack Frost, and it is the time of 7:10, or is it 5:05? If I could be wrong, it's...
Eight past seven.
So there's too many clocks in this place, man.
Yeah, none of them are right.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Jack, I'm going to put a demand out on air now for my personal safety.
Wait, can I get to the weather report? to cause the storm? Herod's going to put it out there. No one's giving us a call. I don't know what's going on. Herod's not that dangerous.
Feels his safety is threatened.
You feel your safety is threatened.
And we'll get through the weather report, but I want to give a weather report of this room because there's no ventilation in here.
Mm. And there's a reason for that.
And Jack doesn't like the air conditioner on, but unfortunately, if there's no air, I actually become very uncomfortable.
That's
and
good.
Start sweating.
Yes, and sweating and getting angry. That's the whole principle.
That's all right.
The weather today, people, is 24 degrees and it's going to rain all week, all over the weekend. So if you're planning to do anything outdoors this weekend or we have someone on air, let's put them on. Good morning, you're on air.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
Good. Listen, we've got you on air on Workers Radio. Have you got any concerns about Herwood and what he's just been saying?
Sorry?
No?
Oh, sorry, mate. I can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, can you hear?
I'm just rowing my boat at the moment, but I just feel bad for you because you had no one calling.
Oh, good on you, man. Oh, you're rowing a boat?
Yeah, my little dinghy, for sure.
From where?
Where are you from?
Me, San Susi.
Oh, San Susi. Oh, that's
nice. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it's cool. And you've been listening to us, yeah?
Yeah. I really like you guys. Hey, first time I've heard you.
Oh, that's...
But that other guy is a bit of a carries on a bit. I think you should...
He's a bit of a
what? What he's saying, because I don't see any female oppression.
You see...
I just see, like, the super rich people oppressing everybody.
Yeah, well, that's
exactly
true.
Exactly.
Exactly. You're right on the money there, man.
Yeah, the most powerful form of oppression is the one you're not aware of.
Well, that's right. I mean, the whole world's like... so caught up in their day-to-day shit that they're, you know, like, producing, that no one has got time to think about what's going on.
Can I ask you there, how is the water there on Botany Bay?
It's really nice. Nice and calm.
Awesome. And do you do this regularly, rowing a boat in the middle of Botany Bay?
I stayed in my boat last night, so...
Oh, right. Yeah. So you're out in the boat. Oh, so you're moored.
So I'm just roll my dinghy in, have a shower, and go to work.
Awesome, man. That's great. Yeah. All right, well, thanks.
Are you off the grid?
Is he off the grid?
I'm very much off the grid.
He's good.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome, man. All right, we'll keep it tuned, mate, and thanks for giving us a call.
And keep calling
in. Who was that female singer that was that sang earlier?
Oh, Joan, what's your favorite?
Bias.
Joan Bias. Yeah, she's about Bob Dylan's. If you look, she was in the 60s. And that song, Babe, I'm Going to Leave You, Led Zeppelin did a version of that in 1969, but that was in 64, I think it was.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll put some more of her on. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, cool, man. All right, keep it up.
Cheers. Right. Cheers.
See you later.
Bye.
There you go. Someone on a dinghy going to work. It sounded like he was on the dinghy, didn't he?
He did. I could hear the oars go clonk, clonk.
How strange.
That was so that's cool. Great.
That's good.
So he spent the night in his boat. Fantastic.
Yeah. And he goes to work. He is off the grid.
Yeah.
Now, Harold, should we go into a song and come back? Thanks for the caller who gave us a call.
We're going to argue about the air conditioner now.
Yeah. The air conditioner. I'll fix that up for you. I just hate those frigging things.
I agree. I'd much prefer to have a window open, but since that's not an option.
And don't forget the walking challenge.
Oh, yeah. We'll get back into that. We'll go on a song.
Lunchtime walk. Joining the Heart Foundation walking groups.
Here it is. Pro Muses. All right, there you go. That one's Throwing Muses there. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. We're off the grid thanks to that guy who was rowing his rowboat on the way there. We've got Mick from Burwood. Good morning, Mick. How you doing, mate?
Morning, Jack. Morning, all. I'm very well. Yourself?
Doing good, mate. Now, we've been talking about, Harold's putting out there, have we been subjugated by women?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree with him, because all you have to look at is the relationships boys have with their mothers.
Right.
These days, the boys are extremely weak. They're emotionally weak. They're mentally weak, and it's due to the emphasis on motherly love. Most of the guys, once they get to their late 20s, early 30s, end up dating their mothers. So.
Yeah, that's interesting to say that.
Really?
A lot of younger men, but that's could the emotional level, whether Carla's got something to say.
It's quite a complex problem. It's not as easy as that. The domination by the woman of that, or the single mother scenario at the moment, comes because the mother is being subjugated and dominated. She's stressed, she's uneasy, she's frantically And then she punishes, and the subjugation comes through using certain techniques of punishment. And, you know, the guy then sees his safety as due to the woman because she's the only one there. Yeah?
Yeah, but you're just referring to a single mother. I mean, I'm referring to both parties where it's a single mother and it's a dual relationship, obviously, father and mother.
Yeah.
Admittedly...
The boys, though, however, appear to be very afraid of their fathers, and often the father is the one that dishes out the punishment.
I'll be honest and say, yes, the females have had a very rough time over the last couple of hundred years, and they have been subjugated to a lot of the BS by the masculine energy. Now, I'm the first to admit that the fairer sex is the female because they're able to produce. As far as the dynamics that happen in a household, they're going to vary because of the different type of cultural backgrounds everyone's from. Now, I'm not afraid of my father. I despise my father because of the simple fact of how he involved himself in the household. Now, if it was an ideal situation, that both parents would be spending equal and quality time in the love, the nurturing, and the little educations we all have in the households. Unfortunately, most of the relationships are a broken dynamic, and because the female energy is the nurturing energy, they are always the predominant ones that will look after the household.
Yeah, exactly. But the subjugation doesn't come from the nurturing energy of love and understanding. The subjugation.
I'm going to have to disagree with you. If you've ever had anything to do with the European cultures, you will know that the mothers smother, and they spend more energy and more time worrying and inflicting their own fears onto their children.
Smothering is not love. Smothering is control and fear again. So
that is the fundamental weakness of humanity.
Exactly. And the subjugation principle is control and fear. Yeah, whether you do it out of a smothering thing, like you've got to do this, you've got to come home, darling, or come on, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, again, it's control and fear, and they are punished, not necessarily by withdrawal of this or that, but they are punished by then, you know, having to listen to the woman go on forever, or they're punished by causing, you know, chaos or whatever.
So with the whole nurturing thing and the psychological thing and everything else, when you're in the womb, do you think it starts there?
Of course it does.
It's a start from the womb when you're like a little bean inside the woman?
The subjugation principle is always the same, whether you're in the womb or not, If the mother is afraid and terrified and whatever, the brain, the back brain of the child develops and it becomes out aggressive and afraid, So the subjugation principle is always fear. And the freedom-giving principle is always understanding, acceptance, and love.
But don't you think, Carla, that a lot of what is called nurturing is actually about, in reality, fear?
Absolutely.
When you know, you're always worried about what little Johnny might, we might fall into the pool, he might talk to a stranger, you know, he can't have his sweets before his dinner, and all these things are all fear-based, and also his behaviour when he's little, he runs around, he wants to grab things, and you're afraid that he's going to break something.
Totally.
And that is a large part of what is so-called nurturing.
Totally, but it's a misunderstanding of nurture, and I'm constantly pointing this out to people, constantly trying to deconstruct what they may see as love and nurture, you know, also disguise is actually fear and control.
Here's a question for the guys in the studio, for the men. Mm. How many of you boys expect your partners to do the washing, iron the clothes, and cook?
I do all that.
You do?
Yep.
So we're a very rare breed.
Mm.
But how many guys are out there that are in a supposedly an adult relationship, yet act like man-child and expect their partner to do everything for them?
For the cooking and the responsibilities and stuff like that.
All the nurturing and all the roles, the so-called roles that is supposed to be fitted.
Well, that's the work. I do that because the fact is, well, I like doing it, and the fact is that I have time to do it. I'm not working 40 hours for the week.
If you were working 40, 50 hours
I still do it because the thing is I went to a boarding school, so I had to wash my own stuff and do all my own
so
stuff.
What's the point? Sorry, what was your name? I forgot.
Michael. And men need to pull their socks up and stop relying on their women to do all the little roles that a man can do and that it's not a female's role to do. The point is men are extremely weak. And because of the weakness of men, we find ourselves in a very dysfunctional relationship 9 times out of 10.
Well, maybe we're changing into females.
I'm not sure if I actually agree with you with what you just said, because I think that, you know, getting men to take a, you know, I mean, okay, men in a typical, oh, look, there's so many different variations of how people live, right? But the thing is, saying well, the guy's got to do all this housework in order to prove that he's strong doesn't seem to me to be. I just can't see the logic in it.
Do you think cleaning the house is weak?
I don't think anything's inherently weak or strong. I just can't see the point in saying, well, a man has to do certain types of things, because I mean, basically,
well, we expect the female to do it. And if we expect the female to do it, what makes us not? Why aren't we good enough to do it?
Well, I mean, just let me give you a scenario where, like, a guy is working, you know, every day, full time, and he comes home
home, he sits his ass down, and he gets a coldie out, and then he expects the feed to be ready. And if the feed's not ready, he starts blowing up. No, it doesn't work that way. This goes back to the original statement I said to Jack in the beginning.
He shouldn't lose his temper, of course.
Procreation.
But why does he have to come home?
People are not responsible when it comes to A, relationships, and B, raising a family. People do it willy-nilly. And hence, we continue to have the same type of cycles happening in every household. One will control, one will be trying to manipulate. And the game is just continually played of tennis, backwards and forwards.
Well, you do get some households, after people have come to see me at therapy, where people work things out according to, in a good manner,
but
according
to
what suits them.
You've had to get a third party involved. And a third party is not going to benefit the initial problems that was there. I'm sure you do some great work, but you know, if two people need a third party involved, they shouldn't be there in the first place.
They shouldn't exist if they need a third party intervention.
But wouldn't it make sense, Michael? I mean, you know, Jack described a situation where, you know, he doesn't have a full time job, and he's happy to do some of this stuff because his partner's working. So that works well. But if it was the other way around, then that would work well either. I can't see any reason why the man has to do these things or the woman has to do these things. That just seems like enforcing some rules on the way people have to behave. And you've got to adapt it to the way your life works.
There is
like
preconditioned
what works
notions
for you
of what everyone's role is.
No, it's for us to choose in freedom now. In the old days, there were fixed male roles, fixed female roles.
Well,
in the old
cultures. I'm sorry to disagree, but we aren't free.
No, but we can be now. The potential is there. That's what we're evolving towards. So we can freely come to an arrangement between the two parties.
All right, well, listen, we'll go on to a song there, Mick. Keep on the line. Thank you for giving us that. And if any more concerns, give us a call back, mate.
No problems. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks. Cheers. Thanks, Mick. All right, let's go.
Thanks, Nick.
Man got his woman. Take your seat. He got the power. Oh, she got the need. She spends her life through pleasing up a man. She feeds him dinner. Oh, anything she can. She cries alone at night too often. He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Man makes your hair gray. He's your life's mistake. All you're really looking for. You know you hate this game. Slaps you once in a while, and you live in love and pain. She cries alone at night too often. He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Ooh. Only women bleed. Only women.
You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. We're just having a conversation. We're going to continue. We've got Peter on the line. Peter, we'll continue this conversation you heard before. What's your concerns on that? What we're just discussing?
I mean, there were good points brought up by both parties, the caller, was his name Michael?
Yeah, Michael, yep.
Yeah, Michael brought up some good concerns, but I also felt that maybe Michael may have had, you know, I mean, obviously the European culture back then, maybe, you know, 20, 30, even 50 years ago, I think the woman was expected to do a lot of the things. But I agree with what I think Carol and the guys in the studio are saying, that this day and age, there's no expectations. Whoever is gifted at doing a certain thing or likes doing a certain thing, maybe it's cleaning or cooking, then both sets of partners, I mean, both the couples would sort of say, okay, well, this is what I like to do, and they do it. So there shouldn't be a heated discussion. I think it should just, you know, basically common sense. I think we all pick up what we're gifted at doing, and whoever likes doing it a lot more will drive it.
Can I just make a point?
I do a lot of the cleaning. I do a lot of the cleaning because I like doing it. I was simply... I don't know, man. I've got photos of me washing in the sink from an early age. I just like doing it, but
yeah,
my father never did any of it.
So your father didn't Your father didn't do any of the housework.
Yeah,
cooking? Do you do any
now.
Cooking?
He cooks now, but
What does he cook now when he wasn't doing it before?
I think, you know, I mean, he's just probably just busy with work, working, and mum was at home, you know, so looking after three kids. Mm. So I'm newly married, and basically I don't know how to cook, but I'm learning. But I do other things around the house to support.
You should learn how to cook.
We both do both, vice versa. Whoever's there does it.
Yeah, you should learn how to cook. It's fun, man. Heaps fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I learn a lot more. I mean,
you be the artist of your food. What are you going to say? Harold, are you going to say something to Peter?
Oh, well, I was just going to ask whether you think, Peter, that... that there is an imbalance, though, in our society. And I'll give you some examples of it. Quite often, and I know a lot of guys that are in their late 40s or 50s and who've basically spent many years working and put huge amounts of money into, like, a family home, which they've lost when the relationship ends. And, I know occasionally it goes the other way, but the vast majority of it goes to the women, where the men basically lose everything. And this happens a lot. And so the man works and works and works for this, you know, joint relationship that they have. But then when push comes to shove and the relationship breaks up, the women generally take the kids and take the house. And this is a massive imbalance. And it might not affect you. I mean, you're just newly married. Maybe you're not aware of this, what's going on, like, for people like 20 or 30 years down the line from where you are now. And it's actually an indication of a massive problem, which is a type of oppression against men in our society.
No, Harold, it's not an imbalance. It depends on who gets the children. And if the man gets the children and looks after the children, then he gets the house and that. It's not about the male or the female. Mm-hmm. It's about the partner who takes the children.
Now, isn't it in courts that the female gets the child? Does it get to that stage?
Well, but not always. Yeah, it depends on who has them. Mm. and how that's worked out. So it's a protection of the children. That's
there we go. We've just lost Peter.
All right. So it's about the protection of the children as distinct from either favouring the male or the female.
Well, I would dispute the use of this term protection, and I think it's used misused, and it's used in a very mischievous way by courts and by in disputes over parental control. Mm. And I'm very critical of this use of this word protection. It sends chills up my spine, actually, when that the word itself is so misused.
Mm. Yeah, Jimmy, go
Well,
Jimmy.
The first point here is if there are children in this arrangement, then the child has to be taken care of and taken care of properly. So the courts have got to figure out which person's going to be the controlling body over the children and the other is a visitor.
Well, we've got Peter back on the line there. Peter.
I missed it, but it was, I think it was regarding, I forget the gentleman's name, but he was just...
Yeah, Harrowood's my name, yeah.
Talking about how in divorce, a woman would take a lot of, you know, the property and the kids. I mean, I don't agree with that either. I mean, there is a bit of an imbalance there, so hopefully, you know, people can work that out in the future moving forward.
Yeah, we were just contesting that imbalance, saying that it wasn't an imbalance to the male or the female, that it was a judgment made on behalf of the children.
Yeah.
Someone's just given me a text. They said, my wife went to work after our baby was born and I stayed at home as a dad. So with the labelling, Mick, Carla and Harrowood are all right. Even you, Pete. There you go, mate. All right, we'll go leave it there. Thanks, Pete, for ringing us
up. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, bye, mate. All right, there you go. That's Peter. We'll go on to a song. And this song will go out to The Natural Capitalists.
Yeah.
go. That's Bones out there. That was Radiohead. You listen to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. We're talking about lots of things going on this subject about women. Harold putting it out there, subjected.
Well, you know, Jake, I wasn't expecting it to be such a long thing. I was actually just going to make a statement about it, and I thought we'd probably move on to other stuff. But I can see it's really opened up a huge bunch of issues and problems. But, you know, I actually wanted to give a couple of examples of this oppression of men in our society. And I'm not, you know, I really think it's happening. I'm not just saying it to dramatize or to get attention or, you know, to be theatrical. I really think it's going on. And I just want to give one example of it, which everyone, you know, probably knows about. It's in the news. Julian Assange, right, in Sweden. And the story of Julian Assange on one level is a story of this, of the way in which this oppression of men in our society is actually a tool of political oppression. Because Julian Assange was a very significant figure in the news and in politics because of what he did with WikiLeaks, exposing vital information and challenging and threatening the US government. And when this was happening, everyone was thinking, you know, what are they going to do to silence him? And some people were saying they're going to assassinate him. Some people were saying, you know, what's going to happen because he's a threat. Now, it turned out what they did is they did assassinate him, but not with bullets. They assassinated him through his character, and what they used is the feminist arsenal against him, which is an example of how the prejudices of the feminist philosophy in our society. And I just need to illustrate it for everyone, Carla, before you speak, because a lot of people maybe don't know the details, right? It's really important people understand it, right? Because what actually happened to Julian Assange was he was on a speaking tour in Sweden and he had an affair with two different women.
A lot of people say they were ops too, CIA ops.
Well, yeah, but let's not get into conspiracy speculations just yet.
Yeah.
Because the point is he had an affair with two women, and the one woman was extremely jealous of when she found out that he was seeing someone else. And she then found the woman that he had been seeing, and together they both wanted to get revenge on Julian for having, you know, slept around. And they both went down to the police and they said, can we demand that this man gets an HIV test? Because they wanted to humiliate him. They were scorned women.
Maybe they wanted to protect themselves from HIV.
Oh, rubbish, Carla. Okay.
Oh, but rubbish.
Absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
Look.
Okay, you've got the floor.
Go, Carla,
you've got the floor.
First of all, one of the most prominent feminists, Naomi Wolf, went on air to publicly indicate that Julian Assange, that this was not a feminist cause. So, she was totally a prominent feminist. On Democracy Now!, she gave over and over, and many feminists came not to attack him but to indicate that this was not a feminist issue, that this was a political issue. The women themselves were had every right. I mean, if you've been sleeping unprotected sex with someone, you do like to know whether you have been, you know, from someone who sleeps around, you do like to know if you're safe or not. They, who knows what they want.
Can you go to the police? Is that what you do?
Who knows?
Is that really, are you endorsing this?
Only, I'm not endorsing that. I can understand their dilemma and I can understand Julian's dilemma.
No, they're not their dilemma. Julian, they went to the police.
Julian refused to answer their phone calls. Julian refused to contact them.
That's what happens when couples break up, Carl.
No. They didn't break up. Initially, they weren't broken up. He had no idea that they had broken up with him in any kind of form. They simply wanted to know, am I clear? Yeah? Plus, they wanted a bit of revenge, admittedly. However, it had nothing to do with a feminist arsenal. What happened, because Julian was very kind of lackadaisical about his contact, which he has admitted in his book, he said, it would have been much easier if I had answered one of their stupid phone calls. Yeah? And sometimes this happens when you disregard or dismiss people who are trying to contact you. You know, they tend to then go.
So you go to the police, do you?
Well, you go wherever you go to make them. They wanted to make him have the test. That's all. How do you make someone
Carla,
have
can
a
I
test?
Just make a point that's really important to make here? There is no law in Sweden that requires a man to have an HIV test after he's had sex with a woman. There is no law in any country. And if there was such a law, it would be totally tyrannical. It would be totally outrageous. And I would be one of the first people to go to a protest and march and demand that that law be revoked. There is no such law, Carla. So the fact that these women went to do that is completely illegal.
They went to inquire. It is reasonable to go to inquire to see if you do actually have any legal options here. Of course, you go somewhere to find out if you have legal options. I'm continually going to
places.
So a girl
breaks up with her boyfriend. And then because she's upset because he hasn't called her, she goes to the police. This is the scenario that actually happened here.
No. It's a complex matter. They didn't go to the police because they were upset because they had broken up.
All right, I've got
that's the reason.
We've got someone on air.
Hi, it's Pete. I think those two women obviously enjoyed having sex with Assange, and they didn't think probably twice about putting a condom on. They just went for it, riding it. And they loved it.
Yeah, it was undisputed that they had sex without a condom voluntarily.
Yeah,
undisputed.
They loved it, and then they didn't think, because obviously it was Assange, he's a public figure, they're going to become famous. And I'm being sarcastic here because I've got the shits, really, at the end of the day. I mean, and then what, after that, you go to all the cops, don't agree with it.
Look, just to be technically correct here, however, one of the charges is about the condom having broken. Hello? So they were insisting on condoms.
Sorry, Jim, go.
Do you go to the police or do you go to a doctor to have a blood test? This is the whole thing. Yeah, okay. You see? Okay. You're missing that one point. It's quicker to go to the GP. Oh, geez, I think I have HIV. Take a blood test, then go to the police.
Yes. The problem is that the doctors don't have guns. You see, it'd be handy if doctors had guns. Well, then you could go to the doctor and you could say to the doctor, I want you to go around to this man's house force him to have an HIV test because I'm worried he might have HIV and I might have caught it.
Doctors don't have guns. One moment. If she has HIV, he's going to pick it up in her blood.
Oh, no, she wanted to know in advance if he had it. That was what she wanted to know.
Well, then that's her problem.
Oh, no. Well, Carla?
No, it's just slightly quicker. If you have a legal right to know, and I mean, I don't personally think that is such a terrible law.
It's not a law, Carla. There is no such law.
No, I know it's not. But if you were going to, I think it's reasonable to know what the other partner has.
So you think by law we should, like if I go out and meet a girl and then the next day I want to know if she's got HIV so I can go to the police and demand that she get tested? You think that should be in our statutes?
I actually have. There is actually a revenge process where people who have certain illnesses do want to pass them on in revenge and not tell people. And, I think that's quite a reasonable crime. You know, if you go around deliberately giving people various sexually transmitted diseases because you are, you know, have some sort of vendetta against them, I think that is actually a destructive act.
Well, but these women had a vendetta against Julian Assange, and that's why they went to the police.
It is against the law for somebody knowingly passing on a communicable disease. It is against the law. If that person dies, they can bring you in on a murder charge.
All right, listen, we'll go into a song here. Welcome to the disease that there is no cure for. You'll be back. Radio Skid Row.
Thank you. fellow members of the Roman Senate, hear me. Shall we continue to build palace after palace for the rich? Or shall we aspire to a more noble purpose and build decent housing for the poor? How does the Senate vote?
Fuck the poor!
Good.
That's the Until the End of the World by U2. Before that, we had Obstacle one, Interpol. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. It is 11:05. Yeah, if you could speak into the microphone, it'd be nice if you can talk. We're on air. Thousands of people are listening to us. Good bloody morning to everyone. We've got Carla in here. We have Harrowood from Truth News Radio. We've got Jim, who looks like he's about to explode. Jim, first I'm going to do my community news and then you can do yours.
Yeah, okay.
This one's for my brother Shardcore out there. Bloody good morning. I thought you were sleeping in, mate. Anyway, the art and politics of culture jamming. Now, what is culture jamming and how does it differ from other forms of political protest, social activism and street art? This is happening on the Museum of Sydney. It will be on this Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So there's 2 hours there. You can go in and check it out online. You can go to www.hht.net.au. The art and politics of cultural jamming, people. Have you heard of this?
What does it mean?
Well, actually, if you're out there, Shardcore, and I know you're listening, can you give us a call and give us a 3-minute spill for us there, brother? It's and there'll be guest speakers. There'll be Dean Sewell, criminal lawyer and co-founder of activist group The Lonely Station. There'll be Neil Funnell, Dave Burgess, who with colleague Dr. Will Saunders painted the words "No War" on the remember the No War sort of symbols.
Oh yeah,
yeah, on the Opera House, which was very good, got a lot of media attention. No War, and also anti-tobacco advertising campaign. Peter Volga, as well. The Museum of Sydney. Shar, give us a call, mate, and you can explain to the suppressed people here in the studio what culture jamming is all about. Now, Jim, you ready?
Yeah, sure. Okay, these are community notices.
Yep.
The Camperdown Dragons, yes. South Sydney Juniors Comp, okay. Players wanted for the 2012 season, 6 years to A grade. The sign-on day is Saturday, 25 February 2012.
Yeah, it is 2012.
At Camperdown Oval.
So this is for football, yeah?
Yeah.
For the rugby league, is it?
Rugby league, that's correct.
Right, if you want to get your kids out there to beat themselves up between 6 and 8 years of age, is it?
And there is a, yeah, that's correct, and there is a telephone number for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 0450-711-221. That's 0450-711-221. 221.
Yeah, or you can call us on 955-0955-2 in the studio number, and Jimmy will give you the details. So, right. Kids out there, if your kids want to play football, they need some recruits to go out there for the Camperdown. What are they called? The Camperdown
Dragons.
Camperdown Dragons, South Sydney Juniors Comp. So, if your kids love football or you want them to play football, get them in there. Now, are you going to have a community news?
Yes, I do. The library.
Oh.
Our wonderful library they want to build.
All right. Is this Marrickville Library?
It is. It's Marrickville Library.
That's where Shardcore hangs out.
Well, the new one I'm talking about in the old Marrickville Hospital building.
Oh, he loits there, yeah.
It's going to cost us $33 million. Go on to Marrickville. .gov.au and vote against it, because we're going to be charged 7% for 15 years over our usual council fees. That's not including the pool.
So we're being charged, why?
Because they need money to build it. Right. So they're putting a surcharge on everyone's council fees of almost 7% to pay for it. Over 15 years.
Council fees. Now, who pays those? That's like property owners pay
that
those.
Property owners pay for it. That's correct.
So renters won't pay for
I'm
it.
I'm a pensioner. Now I get hit. I get slugged with another 7% on top of the 3.5% for the pool.
And that's to pay for
the library.
The new library.
Yeah.
The renters will be hit with it because the rents will go up.
That's right.
Gee, that's a lot, isn't it? I didn't realize they did it. I thought that libraries came out of, global federal taxes.
Mm.
Well, bit of news for you. We, the people of Marrickville, are going to pay for it, and they claim it's going to be $33 million.
You have to talk to Anthony Albanese about that one. You have to go to his, because you're a local here in Marrickville.
Such a long list of things now to talk to him about. The carbon tax, the body scanners.
Mm.
Oh, the fracking.
Well, the body scanners
we're going to have to just have the big long petition to to Albanese.
Yeah.
And this is
I'm going to have to, you know, have cameras rolling and, you know, I want to make it a big event. I want to have 10,000 people behind me.
Yeah, how are you going to do that?
I pay them. I don't know.
Well, why don't you just print out?
Carla's got something to say. Carla.
Oh, I'm going back to the alternate currencies because the library could be built with a new alternate currency, which would then stay in the local economy and nobody's rates would have to increase. Or the government could simply print money again.
Oh, great idea. Let's just print money.
Well, that's what they're doing at the Federal Reserve, and I think that's why Europe hasn't dropped yet, has it?
And
they just keep printing money.
Yeah, just floats.
Floats the money, yeah. Just float it in there.
Australia still has the legal capacity to do that.
Quantitative
it does
squeezing.
Does not have to borrow money.
Quantitative squeezing.
That's correct.
Why not just allow households to print their own money?
Mm.
Just have, you know, the opportunity for households to buy, you know, high-quality laser colour printers that can print currency.
You need community here. You need to have an acceptance of that as a exchange medium. You can't just all print your own.
You know what's more expensive than gold? Ink.
Is that right?
Yeah, ink is just the ink. Ink is the new commodity.
Investment opportunity, folks.
That's it. Get your
squids.
Get
in on the ink market now while you can.
Maybe that guy
rowing his boat can get some octopuses. All right, sorry.
I wanted to go back to the Greek festival because I didn't say where it actually was.
Yeah.
So it's in Darling Harbour on Saturday the 25th of February and Sunday the 26th of February.
Mm.
Okay. So Darling Harbour, that should be very good.
They have it every year. Do they smash a lot of plates? You're Greek there, Jimmy.
Greek-American.
Yep. Can you speak it in Greek for us?
No.
Can you speak
I'm
Greek?
Second generation and I have notes. Very little Greek.
Is that right?
So yeah.
You don't have any Greek?
Not really, no.
Your parents didn't speak Greek in the household?
No, because they were first-generation Americans.
Okay.
And the grandparents spoke. My parents could speak, read, and write, but I can't.
There you go.
Well, as Jesus said, blessed are the Greek.
All right, well, let's go into a song. We'll come back. And this one's going to Herald. This one's called Chocolate Jesus by Tom Waits.
Sunday, don't get on my knees to pray, don't memorize the books of the Bible, got my own special ways. I know Jesus loves me, maybe just a little bit more. I fall down on my knees every Sunday at the Red Lee's candy store. Well, I've got to be a chocolate Jesus, make me feel good inside. Got to be a chocolate Jesus, keep me satisfied. Well, I don't want no apples, don't want no almond joy. There ain't nothing better suitable for this boy. Well, that's the only thing that can pick me up. It's better than a cup of gold. You see, only a chocolate Jesus can satisfy my parfait. good enough for me. Well, if you got to be a chocolate Jesus, make me feel so good inside. Got to be a chocolate Jesus, keep me satisfied.
Yeah, that was Chocolate Jesus there, Tom Waits. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. Sorry I haven't put the BBC News up for most people who like to hear that in the hour, but I'm sure you'll get it on the news when you get home tonight at 6 o'clock. They'll have the same rhetoric news that is. Syria is in trouble. What else is going
Jack,
on?
Jack, before you go off Marrickville news, can I just raise a topic which is kind of local, a local issue for me,
I
think I need this for other people as well. Mm. It's about the trains. Now, do you know about the Port Botany freight line?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, there's been a freight line that's been there for many years that connects Port Botany to somewhere down that way.
Down south, near the Shire, or towards, what, La Perouse, or which?
I don't know where the trains go. I know they go somewhere, and they start in Port Botany because they take stuff off the ships, and it goes right through Marrickville, right? Now, the line's been there for many years, but it wasn't heavily used, right? There might be one or two a night.
Right.
But about 3 years ago, they decided they're going to reduce congestion on the roads, so they're going to start using the freight line more.
Right.
Well, now the freight line is continuous all night long. Mm. There is like barely a five-minute break between trains.
Mm.
These trains are 1.5 kilometers long, and they're massively heavy, and they're rusty. And the wheels make this screeching sound.
So they're waking you up, Harrowood.
The wheels make this unbelievable screeching sound.
Yeah.
Not just me, Jack. There's like several, probably 50,000 people.
Now, have you talked to the other people in your neighbourhood about this?
I want to. I've looked on the internet. There were some protests that were done a couple of years ago, and it looks like everyone gave up. That there's a property development that was done right next to the train line.
Right.
And it's actually a real safety risk as well, because these freight trains have a high risk of derailment because of the loads they're carrying. Mm. And guess what they're often carrying?
What?
Toxic waste.
Wow.
So a lot of the trains are carrying...
So they're carrying... how do you know they're carrying toxic waste?
They carry all kinds of things. Like it's
probably depleted uranium.
It's part of what they do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we need to find out more about it.
Mm.
I mean, you can see them going past. They've got, sometimes they've just got big containers full of what just looks like coal or some brown stuff. You can actually see it. Who knows what that is? Maybe that's landfill. I don't know. But, there's probably a lot of stuff in there that isn't too good. So there's the toxic waste issue. There's the derailment threat. Mm. And there's the noise issue. Because when they actually put these this freight line in, they didn't put any noise abatement in. So all these people right next to the line. I mean, I'm about a 10-minute walk away.
So you live in Marrickville. How long is this freight train from Marrickville to Botany?
Well, it goes through Casula as well.
Yep.
And
so other suburbs.
Through other suburbs.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people angry about it. A lot of people saying that they couldn't sleep. It's destroyed their lives. I mean, it was people are basically the people's lives have been wrecked by this.
Is the rent cheaper there, you reckon?
It'd
be interesting.
Well, rent next to train lines is always. I mean, properties next to train lines are always cheaper.
Mm.
But I don't know whether that's devalued it. Mm. More, but technically it probably should have. But it seems like there's just a disregard for this. The local government doesn't care. Nobody cares. Mm. And meanwhile, people are just having a miserable quality of life.
Well, you got to go out there and I guess you got to talk to your local council about this, and you got to talk to your community and people, get it out there for people. If anyone out there and they know exactly what Harold's talking about, you could ring up on 9550 9552. You can start there and go with Herod if you're having sleepless
nights. If you'd like to come on my Truth News podcast show to talk about it, I'd actually like people to talk about it, because I know sometimes people don't talk about these things that are actually really serious issues because they just think there's nothing they can do. Yeah. They just bury it.
Yeah, well,
it actually makes it worse.
Yes, exactly. And you can do something about it. It's just standing up.
Well, actually, whinge.
Yeah, communicating. Now, Carla, what are you looking for the community news? Did you find any community news besides Greek festival that's happening? There she goes. There she is. She's coming on.
I just thought perhaps we should understand troubled minds.
Troubled minds?
Yes. Lord. SANE Australia, the national mental health charity, has announced Understanding Troubled Minds as the book of the year, and we should all get it. You can ring on 1-800-18-S-7263. Mm-hmm. Well overdue. And contributes to the creation of a common language that can understand mental health. Do you think we need this? Do you think you need a copy?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, not really. Mentally ill.
Sure,
do.
Why not?
Well, where can you get this copy?
Oh, you ring the SANE helpline.
And what is it? What's this book going to do for you?
Someone who's very sane will answer the phone.
Every household should have a copy, they say.
We've got someone on
this whole thing ends on February the 24th.
February 24th. Hello, listener. Hello?
Jack, it's Michael Corleone.
Hey, Michael Corleone, how is it going there, mate?
Good, mate. I just want to make an inquiry, mate. I just want to know why the LPG gas has gone up 15 cents overnight.
15?
Can you explain that to me, Jack?
15 cents. What? The LPG gas in the petrol stations has gone up 15 cents.
That's exactly. It was 62.9.
Yeah.
And last night, it was 77.9. Can you explain that increase for me, Jack?
I'm going to find out about this. LPG gas. This is a lot of people in the taxi community use LPG gas, and a lot of people, at 15 cents, that's a massive bump. I'll find out about that for you, mate. I don't know. What do you think, Harold?
It's a conspiracy.
What do you think?
It increases the profit.
It increases the profit. That's disgusting. 15 cents.
Jack, so, Jack. Another thing is when fuel goes up for the airlines, you know, the airline people, they raise their fares, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To compensate them. Now, what happens to the old poor taxi driver out there when he slugged a 15 cents increase on his the gas?
Mm.
We don't get an increase on our fares, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, you could. Can you increase it? Can you turn the dial up? You know how you start off at $3 or something?
No, Jack, no.
You can't do that?
No, it's set price, mate. You know what I mean?
Oh, so every taxi is set at a set price. You can't fiddle with it or anything?
Yeah, you can't muck around because it's set by the government. You know, it's a...
All right, so you got to talk to the... Well, this is disgusting. I mean, fuel is a big money chunker out of your wages and stuff like that. 15 cents, I mean, most of the time we see about 3, 4 cents in petroleum. 15 cents is quite huge. I've never heard anything like that. In overnight, someone's stuffed it up. You sure? Have you been to a lot of other petrol stations? It's not this one petrol station? No,
Jack. See, what it is with a fuel company is, this, you know, it's like sheep. They just follow the rest, you see.
Mm. Have you looked at the price of petrol? Maybe it's just across-the-board price rise.
Petrol's another issue, but when you for us cabbies, it's getting hard, Jack. You know what I mean? Just everything's getting hard, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
maybe it's because of all this
getting slugged with the fuel now. That's a big.
Well, that's
something definitely going on. Greed. I don't know what's going on, Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, LPG is from petroleum. It's made from petroleum. So LPG should be connected to the price of petrol.
Mm.
So, I mean, it may be because of what's going on in Iran. I mean, you know that Iran is now encircled and all of the diplomatic missions have now been withdrawn. All of the embassies are shut and the BBC is now basically running stories telling you that Iran is on the brink of civil war and, you know, because the propaganda that we're getting from the Western lamestream media is pushing the line that Iran is going to be overthrown from within, just like they've done with Syria and Libya. So Iran, of course, is a huge supplier of oil to the world. Iran has a massive amount of the world's oil.
So you're saying it goes back straight to the bowser where Michael Corleone is trying to get his LPG gas. That could be up. Who
I think the Iran situation has a lot to do with it.
Who governs the petrol? Who puts the prices? Who starts off with the prices? Like you said there, Michael Corleone, they're sheep and they just everyone sort of, it's like, you know, when you go to the bookie and someone puts 2-1 and then everyone else starts putting 2-1, they start doing the dials on those old bookie things.
Yeah, it's a market. It's like anything else, it's a commodity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jack, I just want to know. I want to know if there's an authority body out there that, like,
a regulator
that checks the prices out on, you know, like, I can't understand why it just goes up and down, like, you know.
Like the share market.
I agree. Like, we should.
That's a big hit, Jack.
We should actually know. Like, I mean, it's astonishing that the three of us here, four of us here, don't know who sets the prices, who makes those decisions, and when do they make them, and on what basis. Like, we live in our society all this time deeply affected by the price of those things, and none of us know who actually sets the jolly prices.
Is it OPEC?
Well, I think once upon a time it used to be the ACCC, it used to be the regulator on prices and.
Mm.
The regulator, but I don't know. I think they're falling asleep behind the wheel, Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the barrels, the price of barrels that they sort of go on that, or OPEC puts the price. It's interesting. If anyone knows out there.
It's a market. It's a trading market like anything else.
Yeah.
It's done by bankers, Carla. It's a commodity market just like any other traded thing. And there's no one individual doing it. It's like they're all over the world, and there's all kinds of people pulling the strings who have more influence. But OPEC has a huge amount of influence because they supply a lot of oil. But OPEC is only able to change the price by increasing or decreasing supply. Mm. That's how OPEC changes the price. Yep. But the traders change the value depending on the geopolitical situation. Mm. So when a war breaks out, they put the price up.
Okay. So these traders are simple individuals who can at any stage just go ahead and suggest that.
Yeah, it's part of the criminal slave system.
Well, OPEC, if you don't know what OPEC is the Organization of Petroleum and Exporting Countries. So it's an intergovernmental organization of 12 oil-producing countries made up of Algeria, Angola, Ecuador, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Libya, Nigeria. Isn't it funny how America's sort of bombed these countries? Saudi Arabia, United. Venezuela, they haven't got to that yet. They'll get there. Listen, 15 cents of the LPG gas, that's disgusting. If anyone's out there who could help Michael Corleone and the taxi community to find out why and who's regular and why, I mean, who puts the prices up. I think Harrod's sort of put it out there, which, you know, sort of explains it pretty well.
It'd be good to know the details.
Tell us who puts it out there. Thanks, man. Thanks, Michael Corleone. We'll find out for you.
Okay, Jack, you have a good day, mate, and I'll see you soon, okay, Jack?
All right, see you soon, brother. Be good. All right, there you go.
But, you know, while we're at it, who sets the price of rice? Who sets the price of wheat? Who sets the price of corn? Who sets the price of gold?
Who sets the price of drugs? Illicit drugs.
Yeah, who's that supposed to marijuana?
Scarcity.
Who does?
We'll be back. Radio Skid Row. We'll talk about alternative currency. Yeah.
the more you begin to investigate what we think we understand, where we came from, what we think we're doing, the more you begin to see we've been lied to. We've been lied to by every institution. What makes you think for 1 minute that the religious institution is the only one that's never been touched? The religious institutions of this world are at the bottom of the dirt. The religious institutions in this world are put there by the same people who gave you your government, your corrupt education, who set up your international banking cartels, because our masters don't give a damn about you or your family. All they care about is what they have always cared about, and that's controlling the whole damn world.
Yeah, there you go. That one, Summer Rain, Painkiller by Tune It, Turn It, Parrot Breaks. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney, 88.9 community radio station. You can get us on radioskidrow.org. And you can give us a call on 9550-9552. I've got Harold from the Truth News Radio. You can get that on Truth News Radio as well. Podcast he has once a week.
Truthnews.com.au.
There you go. We've got Carla, our shrink here, the voice of the woman, the voice of reason or non-reason. And we've got Jimmy, our community whore. My name's Jack Frost. We've also got Ant Anderson on as well. Mr. Anderson, how you doing, mate?
Yes, you got old full house in there, Jack. It's good to see.
Yep.
Lady Carla, a bit of a female edge.
Bit
there.
Of female. She's all female, bro.
A bit of female edge, I meant.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In amongst all that testosterone, it's good to see Carla.
Yeah, it is true. We do have a lot of males. We want females to. I have females ring me up, but they will not. They will not come on air. Carla has the gunsham, is it?
That's because they're too busy subjugating males. They have no time.
Right.
Okay. So all the other males out there are subjugated. That's good for us, I guess, because we're not subjugated.
Do you think we are subjugated?
Have you been listening to the show earlier on today, Mr. Anderson?
I think he has, if you mentioned that word.
A little bit.
Okay, yeah. We spent about an hour on that topic. Probably better not go back into it again.
All right, well, listen, we got something to say, Jim.
Men are subjugated by the fact of...
So he didn't listen to us.
What did I say? Men are subjugated by the fact that women are beautiful and it's sex, right?
Mm.
That's the start
of it
all.
Subjugated by beauty. Mm.
That's it.
I'm a slave to beauty.
That's it. We love our women. And I'm sure women love men, or men love men, and women love women. Anyway, we're talking about Monsanto just before. Monsanto, Bill Gates, who's vaccinating the world. He's got shares in Monsanto as much as George Soros and a lot of other people who've got major shares in this company that a lot of people are very upset with. Monsanto has major petitions against it. It's been banned in France. Also, the Monsanto cafeteria has known that no one has Monsanto food in the cafeteria. Isn't that interesting?
I do remember reading that somewhere. I'd like to be able to prove that with an actual verifiable source, though.
It might
be one of those
blog forums. Could be one of those blog forums.
Things you get off a forum.
But the thing is
it's like the royal family don't get treated with pharmaceuticals, isn't it? They got a homeopath and a naturopath. Yeah, they do everything naturally.
Well, yeah, you want to have the best, don't you?
A lot of doctors don't vaccinate their own kids. That's well known.
True. Yeah, right. That's true.
Well, Hitler malnutritioned the Germans to subjugate to mass medication and stuff like that. That's the best way to do it. Keep them malnutritioned; they'll do anything they say. Bovine docile cows. Anyway, go. Sorry, Scott.
Oh no, I'm just getting back to the fact that the French government refused to let the GMO food in the maize, despite of the fact that they won every court case.
Mm. So that's interesting. For that.
You know, that's really interesting that they took power. You know, despite over the court case situation. However, there's one interesting thing that's happened is the Sydney Morning Herald is conducting a poll on whether complementary alternative medicine should be studied at universities. And they're indicating at the moment that the poll is showing that 90% of people think it shouldn't. So I urge everyone to quickly vote that it should be because it's got to be a preamble for cutting the complementary medicines out of university.
Yes, the alternative medicine.
Yeah.
Mr. Anderson?
I got that email from naturopath, osteopath, chiropractor, mate of mine. The polls are okay, but they don't really change any sort of government policy. The government decides what happens.
I know, but the polls are a preamble, and if they can then prove that most people don't want them, then they can cut them out because they want to cut the complementary medicines out altogether. And the poll gives them then a sort of excuse saying that, well, the public is with us. They believe this anyway.
But the polls are faceless things. It's like, you know, all these organisations getting around. You know, you've got hundreds and hundreds of people just putting up what the government wants. I mean, you've got people that are paid to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you know? I mean, I can say that, but how do you know that they're all official and votes for or against?
Yeah. You're right. They could be just.
I really don't know.
They could be just making up the numbers.
Well, the EU. I've got a thanks, Mick. The EU banned natural and med education in 2011. Last year. So they've banned it already.
All right, yeah. So the move is there to get rid of it altogether.
Altogether, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say that, and you know we've heard about what is it, Codex Alimentarius, for you know like a decade. But you know, will that happen? You know, will there be an uproar, or
well,
we'll just walk in the health food store and not find vitamin C one day? Or
well, that's a very that's a very interesting subject, because remember that woman that came on and said it was in 2009. And I think it sort of freaked the sort of people out. So it's sort of the Codex Alimentarius is happening right now, and it's going by stealth.
Yeah.
And it's a big subject that we should be putting out there, because at 2009, everyone goes, oh, well, nothing happened. A billion people didn't die or anything like that. And the Codex Alimentarius is a major stealth snake. And as you can tell, the article that the EU have banned it already.
Yeah.
I think New Zealand as well is on its way with
certain
the bill.
Products have gone. Yep. Certain of our anthroposophical medicines have disappeared, and we're not allowed to sell them any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So things have happened.
It's like you were saying. Sorry, Carl, go.
No, it's fine. I'm finished.
It's like Jack was saying yesterday, you know, about the fluoride, you know, when you're warning people about, you know, how it is pretty much a... It's just there, and people don't realise that it's got long-term slow effects on people. And, you know, people say, oh, prove it, no one's died from it. Well, you don't know. It's just like the drug companies, they put out all these tests, and they put out their own reports of things, and they might have one person with a slight adverse effect, but you've got other people that have been, but they just air out those people from the study, you know. So, you know, you never know the sort of data you're getting. You know, it's the old Marco Polo line. There's lies, and there's statistics, and there's whatever it is.
More lies.
And lies, and there's statistics, you know. Basically, you know, you can twist statistics any way you want. That's how they did global warming. That's how they're doing all this Monsanto stuff. I mean, I saw a good doco on SBS, which quite surprisingly has quite a few exposés on it, and you know, if the listenership and the viewership was a bit higher, people would be a bit more awake. But they're actually talking about pigs and cows, how they're being genetically modified, and also the genome is being used as well, just like Monsanto does with their vegetables and fruit.
Well, this is the someone's put up there with Monsanto that. In Africa, they're starving, right? And they're starving in Africa, and that their crops have died or something like that, and that they need genetically modified food, the GM food. So the question was, and this is through the Bill Gates thing, who's putting in, who's a big thing on with the GM, is that should they starve or should they just have poison food and you can still live?
No, in India, it was proved over and over again that the biodynamic and the organics food had a greater yield, was more resistant to actual pests and so on, and that, you know, they could feed many more people based on those methods than on the GMO method.
Mm. Yeah, so go, Jimmy.
Mr. Anderson, being a scientist, have you read anything on naturopathic methodologies that really, really makes any sense, research into it? There are usually only two or three pages, and nobody seems to really understand the dynamic of the material.
Yeah, not really, because the whole thing is that those type of things, like turmeric, doesn't get the money poured behind it that pharmaceuticals do, because pharmaceuticals have got a long-term benefit financially for the company that's producing them. You've got patents, you've got...
Well, someone's just put in there, Mr. Anderson, all licensing for MedPat patents are up for renewals, huge money up for grabs for who controls the patents. Who does?
It is, and then they change the name of the product, like, what is it, Prozac, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the patent comes up for renewal, and then they just change the name, modify a little bit of the content, and bango, you've got another patent for 10 years, whatever they do, you know. So same as, you know, like with turmeric, you can't, the efficacy of turmeric is 100-fold, depending on what you have it with. I mean, you've got to have turmeric with pepper, and you get a 1,000-time better effect. Now, people don't know this, and how do people like in India, the Ayurvedic, type medicine that studies all this sort of stuff, how do they know all this stuff? You know, there's got to be some sort of proof that that says, well, you can have turmeric by itself, but you can have it with a bit of pepper. You know, you've got a thousandfold better effect with it. You know? So people are studying these things. It's just that they don't get a lot of the funding that the pharmaceuticals get.
Well, how about that stuff that you gave me, Mr. Anderson, and got me sick for 2 weeks? What was going on there, you herbal alchemist?
Yeah, well, and the thing is, you'll say that, you know, and people say, oh, yeah, that made me sick, but, you know, there's a thing called detox.
Well, it is. It's true. You did get me off the cholesterol pills. I haven't taken any since you gave me that stuff. I don't know what you put in there. It made me sick, but it made me sick of not using those cholesterol pills, which I've started this year, which a lot of people have emailed me and said, what are you doing, Jack? You nut job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got side effects for that. That'll send you around the twist in a few years. I mean, that's happening to my father-in-law at the moment. So. And there's other effects on the liver and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, you need cholesterol. Cholesterol repairs all your cells and your arteries. So people don't realise the big job that cholesterol plays in your body.
So you're saying...
Yes, you don't want it too high, but, you know, the crap that the doctors talk about, that it blocks up your arteries, well, really? I mean, we see all these dramatic photos. With arteries with fat on them.
Hmm. Exactly, but there was a company, and the company wanted to increase profits, and what they did is they got a doctor to just raise the dangerous cholesterol level by 2 points or something like that, which put another whole section of the population onto the cholesterol pills. And you're quite right, cholesterol is actually, even according to them, not a threat until you already have a heart disease. Before you have a heart disease, it's not actually a threat, and it doesn't actually then cause the heart disease. It's just that once you have a full-on heart disease, then cholesterol levels can impact slightly on it. So it's a big con.
It is. You think it's a big con?
Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of people say that maybe meat is the big thing, the big factor for heart disease, that eating meat, a lot of in the Western worlds, we've got in America, over here, we've got a major run of heart disease. Why? Is it meat? Is it the consumption of meat? Because there's this thing, I think there's a documentary called Forks and Knives, which is a anti-meat sort of campaign. But the fact is, it's about heart disease. And that meat, and that places like in China or Thailand, where they don't have any heart disease, why? What is it? Is it the genetic makeup, or is it the food we eat?
They have heart disease, by the way, in China.
Not as much.
I have currently 3 clients who have just recently come from China who've had heart disease in their family. Constantly, the father had it, the mother had it.
So you say it's genetically?
The relatives had it. No.
But statistically, it says that a majority...
must be less.
Is complete, a big drop in less compared to America and other European countries who are major meat eaters. Mm-hmm. So it could be the meat.
Chinese eat a lot of pork. And that's not the best thing to eat in the first place, as we know, like I've said scripturally, but also, you know, meat-wise, it's got parasites and all sorts of things. But getting back to, like, what Carl said as well, it's spot on. They change the levels and in order to get more population on these drugs, number one. Number two is, the thing is that we now eat more meat. I mean, the dairy industry drives more cows to make more milk, but we also, well, I mean, we shouldn't be drinking milk because it's the milk of another animal. But secondly, you've got the side business there where you've got a lot more meat. I mean, think about it back then when you're on a farm or you have a small farm and you'd eat one chicken a week if you were lucky, or you'd eat one chicken a month because you use the chickens for eggs more than for meat. And similarly with a cow. I mean, you'd slaughter a cow and share it amongst 3, 4, 5 families.
It's genetically modified. Going back to, we've got to go, we'll wrap it up there, Mr. Anderson. With genetically modified food, should we label it? Say it's GM 100%. Food?
Absolutely.
What do you think, Harold?
Well, no, you don't need to because...
everything's genetically modified.
No, because they said you don't have to because it's the same as normal food.
But is it?
Well, I'm just giving you their argument. Like, don't you trust them?
No, of course not.
That's what Monsanto said, and they own XE Services now.
Oh, right.
So, which used to be called Blackwater.
Yeah, XE.
And they now own XE Services, which is the largest military contractor to the US. So if you disagree with Monsanto, you may well get a nasty surprise in the middle of the night.
If you don't know what XE...
They said it's all safe and you don't have to label genetic foods. So shut up.
All right.
As Bill O'Reilly said, shut up.
Yep. All right. Listen, we're going to go there, Mr. Anderson. Thanks for giving us a call. We'll be back after this. All Yeah, there you go. That one's Summer Song there by Crazy Penis. That's the name of the group. You're listening to Workers Radio Sydney on 88.9 Radio Skid Row. It's 15 minutes to 9. We're going into Democracy Now! Territory, and then we're going to go have it at 10 o'clock. We're going to have the Deadly Sounds of Indigenous Music and News. Now, Michael Corleone rang us up about LPG gas. There is a report. Thank you, Shardcore. It's good to see that you're in the background there listening. Why the big LPG price hike? Well, it has jumped up to what Michael Corleone has mentioned for the taxi people, 12 to 13 cents a litre. It was yesterday, as many local service stations, despite the Australian dollar being so high. Now, the morning spokesman, Mr. Michael Carmody, CEO of the LPG Australia, in the explanation, he goes, I guess what you're seeing is the accumulation of a number of factors over the last 5 to 4 months. We've been hit by numbers of whammies in the last 4 to 5 months. Yes, so what? Mr. Cummie went on to describe the factors, including the price of LPG being set internationally, an increase of 2.5 cents per litre on fuel excise, and the current Northern Hemisphere winter. For motorists wondering why there has been such a sudden jump in fuel prices when the Northern winter started 2 months ago, Mr. Carmody says there has been a build up for... He's full of shit, this guy. It's been building up for now for the last 3 to 4 months. Why does he keep saying this? I'm just reading this off a script here. I think the industry has been extremely well contained in trying to hold the LPG gas. But at the end of it, you know what he says? Well, I guess the question should be fairly placed at the service station owners. So really, the service station owners should be the first point of a contact. So there you go, Michael Corleone. That guy, the Mr. Carmody, is your typical lobbyist.
But that's completely contradictory. So first of all, he says it's internationally set, and then he says go to your service owner station.
Mm.
Internationally set by whom?
Mm. Exactly. He doesn't know, and that's our CEO of LPG Gas.
That didn't make any sense to start with.
Yeah, I know it didn't, Jimmy. It didn't. And the thing is that's the spokesman of the CEO. TC, you're online. How you doing, mate?
Good. Good. Yourself?
Yeah, doing fine. We've got Carla in here, and we've got Harold from Truth News Radio, and Jim. What's been
going on?
How you been? What's going on for you, man?
I'm just cruising, delivering some cycles.
Cycles?
Push bikes.
Oh, okay, cool. If you've got any spare ones, you can throw one my way. Mine's got a... Needs to be redone.
I could use one.
Yeah,
Harold. The whole van full of them. But,
All right, we'll just drop them off here. You can go to 142 Addison Road. Drop one for Harold. He walks around all the time. The back of the truck sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm about to lose my license. So I need one.
I don't really want to compromise my integrity any further.
Oh, well, you don't want to do that. Integrity for who? The person you work or for your morals?
No, for my morals, yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Just remember the person you're working for earns thousands of dollars and he just puts you down to about, what, $30 an hour? Where your efforts are probably worth about $1,000 an hour?
Yeah.
You don't realise that, do you?
Yeah. I'll come and work for you.
Yeah, I work for the government. Government pays me.
I don't think people work for the government, do they?
Well, if they're paying you, it does.
I suppose.
When you're unemployed. Anyway,
So, Carla, can I ask Carla something?
Yes.
I heard a story about three psychiatrists, I believe, Freud, Adler and Frankel. and they were asked, or they were trying to find out what motivates people. And Freud said it was pleasure. Adler said it was power. And then war broke out in Germany and those two guys left the country. And Frankel stayed behind and was put into a concentration camp for 4 years, where he saw strong men become weak and die, and others that were supposedly weak survived. So he came up with a conclusion that what motivates people is hope. What's your take?
Freedom.
Freedom. The hope of freedom.
Maybe, yeah.
I was just curious. Have you heard that analogy before?
Yeah, it possibly, like, it varies for different people, doesn't it? I mean, it's probably complex, and each person is motivated by a slightly different variation of those three things, maybe. But I think ultimately we want to evolve as a species to something that's free, yeah, and generous and has a clear set of morals.
Do you think it's the problem that when we're going into new areas of out of our comfort zone, things that are new that we want to evolve, that we dissolve because we don't know about it, because we don't know much about it because we're going into the unknown?
Yeah.
That's a big factor, you know?
Well, I do sheltered think people life. Are attempting to evolve, and then I see forces that are attempting to stop that evolution.
Mm. Can I just say, I think humanity is not inherently bad, like some people want to say. Mm. I don't think the human race is a blight on this planet, like some extremist environmental people want you to think.
Prince Philip.
I think that humanity has amazing potential. I think humanity has infinite potential. I think life has infinite potential. I don't think we have to be afraid of life. We don't have to be afraid of population growth. Life creates its own mechanisms for it to continue. And the more people we have, the more productivity there's going to be to think about all new amazing things that we might do, including moving life out of this planet into other planets and just generally expanding what we do. The potential is infinite. I'm like really hopeful and really positive.
That's a good way of thinking it.
Thank you.
Doom and gloom.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like the Bible says, fear not. That's the most quoted word statement from the Bible.
Yep. Now, what do you think of that statement I mentioned yesterday about the Bible, about Jesus Christ when he was on the cross, the old text? Have you got any copies of the old text when the Jesus said, do not forgive these people?
No. I don't think he said that. He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they are doing.
Yeah, well, that was the King James Bible sort of version. How about the other? I heard an older text, he says, no, don't forgive these people.
I wouldn't give it any credibility.
No, I agree with you there.
God bless you people.
Don't forget, worrying is like being on a rocking chair. You got a lot of activity, but you don't get anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor, actually. I'm going to keep that one.
Do you go to church, TC?
No, I don't. But I did when I was younger.
Yep.
But I have the view that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Like, because I can stand all day in a garage, it doesn't make me a car.
That's right.
That's so good.
Right.
Cheers. So doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian if you go to church.
Yeah, no, exactly.
To live that way is the way of doing it.
Actually, you've got some really good metaphors there.
Oh, TC is full of TC's full of metaphors. All right, thanks, TC, and God bless, and have a good weekend, mate.
You too, brother Jack.
And we'll see you next week. Oh, we'll hear from you next week. Why do I say see you? Anyway, thanks, TC. Cheers. We'll be back after this.
Jack, ready? Can I just before you go to break, just want to, when we come back, right, I want to talk about body scanners in the airport for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't know if you've done this on the show this week.
Yeah, we have.
But I want to raise it again because I want to talk about what we might do next week talking about it and on my show as well.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot about it because you had an experience over in America where you – did you get filled up in America?
No, I didn't get scanned. They were all shut down when I was over there.
That
was during the phase where they
– They must have known you were coming.
They saw me coming,
Because it's a big thing for us. We're going through radiation baths, which are these scanners. They're going to be implemented in July. Now, Transport Minister let's do it now. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it now because we need a national movement. We've got to do this. This is one of the situations where you've got to do it. And everyone out there listening, I'm in the process of setting up a website. I've already registered wewillnotbescanned.org.
We will not be scanned. That's awesome.
We will not be scanned.org. And we need a national movement. It's going to have people power. It's going to have civil disobedience. We're going to have to confront the authorities. We're going to have to confront John Albanese with the facts directly at his office. But we're also going to have to go to the airports and we're going to have to stage actions at the airports. I think we need T-shirts. We need a strong presence so that people know who we are. We go out to the airport and inform people who are getting on planes what's going on and actually have flyers that we can give to people. Yeah. Now, the authorities will try and shut us down. The security will probably have us removed from the airport, but we need to film that because there will be a response to what we're trying to do. They do not want to be interfered with. Right. We have to interfere with their plan.
Right. Now, this has come out in the mainstream news this week, and Parliament has come back into the House. Now, the back scanners, are they called? Back scanners?
The body scanners, there's two main types.
Mm.
There's the back scanner X-ray one, and there's the millimeter wave. Millimeter wave is a euphemism for microwaves.
Right.
Okay. The ones that they're planning to bring in Australia are the back scanner X-ray.
Mm.
The ones in Europe, they've banned the back scanner X-ray, but they are using the millimeter wave.
Oh.
My research says they're both bad.
Yeah.
There's different research that says that the back scanner is worse. Yeah. I think they're all appalling. Mm. None of them should be used, and neither should people be subjected to pat downs either.
Yeah.
Right. But as a fallback, to have the option to be pat down is preferable to being forced to go through the scanner. However, I don't think we should be accepting that either. We need to reform the whole system.
Mm.
But let's start off with saying we will not be scanned. As a line in the sand, we will not do it, and we'll be prepared to be arrested rather than go through those scanners.
Now, just before you go on, Jim, if people just woken up to this, we're getting this in July. This is only international. Now, it hasn't happened domestically so far until someone wears a bom in their underpants and goes from Darwin to Alice Springs.
Yes.
That's how it started. It started because someone had a bom in their underpants back in 2009. America's doing it. Europe's banned one type of scanners. Now, in Australia, it has says by law, or it hasn't done yet, but they will pass it through, that if you do not go through those scanners, we don't get the pat down yet. But you will not be available to board the plane.
Yeah.
So you have no right. You have to go through these. Now, Europe's banned it because the fact is that it does affect your DNA. It says this in the Forbes magazine, that it affects your DNA and it makes you sick. Now, if this is anything to the light, it says anyone with any medical conditions, like severe medical conditions, don't go through. Now, that's just saying something. That means it affects you medically.
People with medical conditions will be exempt, so it's not inert, it's not benign.
Yeah, so it must affect you. It's like when you have toothpaste with fluoride. It says if a child eats this, call poison control. Yeah.
And remember, the medical issue is important, but so is the privacy issue. This is an X-ray, which is basically penetrating through your clothing to see your naked body. Now, they've said it's okay because you're only going to see a stick figure.
Mm.
They've changed the display so that the operator only sees a stick figure. But that's just a cosmetic change.
Mm.
What the actual machinery of the X-ray is doing is still exposing your whole body, and it's just a setting on the screen to show a stick figure. But I would guarantee you that there are other settings within the software that would allow you to switch back to the full X-ray where you can actually see the bones in the hand as well.
Mm.
It's just a setting in the software.
Mm.
For them to say that's a privacy protection is absurd.
Mm.
I mean, they told us that they weren't going to print these things. They told us that they weren't going to save the data. Then it came out that it was being saved, that there was a famous Indian film actor who went through in London at Heathrow, and the scanner operators printed it out and they asked him to autograph it. And you know, the stupid guy didn't even think there was a problem with that. You know, he was just an egotistical cool. film star. He said, yeah, well, I'll sign that.
No, he liked my heart on before I went in there.
Yeah. So whatever they tell you about it, you can't trust them.
Mm.
And the tests that say these things are safe were not done on actual machines. They were only done on data supplied by DHS.
Mm. And you got to sort of see the people who get groomed, the grooming for this, for the people who like naked people.
But what about the people carrying bombs?
Yes, the underpants bombers.
Well, this has happened, one the underpants.
And it's been proven that you can still smuggle bombs through and these things don't pick them up.
Yeah.
But this has been proven that they have a very poor success rate in actually picking stuff up. Jim?
Well, a good sniffer dog will pick the damn bomb up. Secondly, I have a pacemaker, a sniffer dog, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know those dogs that sniff your crotch.
Yeah. They'll pick up the damn bomb.
First thing a dog does to you when he says hello.
But people with... pacemakers, people who have metal in their hands or in their arms or in their body.
Yeah, people who are motorcycle riders and stuff like
so
that.
So on, they're going to be, they're going to have a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's the Privacy Act and also the health reason as well. And and it's, thank Christ we don't have these TSA people because there's a lot of groping going over. A six-year-old girl got groped by TSA, was reported. Stuff like that, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it happens a lot. It's a stand against surveillance that has to start. Mm. However, the one safety protection here is obviously is to quickly get a medical condition.
That's exactly right. I've been through 5 radiation baths in the international airport. I'm actually radiated. I need my medical condition. You can get it that way. Right. But that's awesome. We will not be scammed. We'll be coming out soon. Herald's going to put it out there, and I think we should all jump onto it when you get that website.
Thanks.
That's a great idea. It's an awesome idea. We should have these scanners in there. Thank you, guys, for coming in. Herald from Truth News Radio. You can go to truthnewsradio.com.au. Carla, thank you for coming in. People appreciate you. You're going to say goodbye to the listeners and...
Goodbye.
And thank you, Jim. We'll be back.
Goodbye, just listeners.
Stay tuned. We'll be back next Monday. Shard will be in. I won't be in next Monday. I'll be going through one of those body scanners.
Really? Where are you headed?
New Zealand. God, I hope I can get back. I owe the government.
Oh, well.
New Zealand are actually monitoring. Actually, New Zealand are monitoring our body scanners as we speak. Oh, no, they're going to Monterey. They're going to have it exactly.
Trialing it.
Yeah, they're trialing it as well. So stay tuned. I just lost the song. If anyone's got any requests, sorry, D, for not putting it out there. He's going to kick my ass. I didn't give him the song. Stay tuned. Democracy Now. We've got Caroline tomorrow for the Union Show. And here we go, Cattle and Kane. Hope you all have a good weekend. Bye.
And that brings us to the end of this recording from Radio Skid Row's Breakfast Show. I'll be bringing you more of those recordings soon and more Truth News shows. Hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned and see you next time. If you would like to support Truth News Australia, here's something you can do right now. Go to our Facebook page, and you can find that by going to the website and then clicking on the Facebook link. If you're not already a fan of our Facebook page, click on the like button. Then invite all your friends to become fans, and you can do that by clicking on the link on the right-hand side that says Invite Friends.